Alaska's top military commander, Lieutenant General Russell Handy, has been on the job here for more than a year. He's overseeing ALCOM at a time when the U.S. relationship with Russia has been frosty. In September, Russian military flights that were within 50 miles of the Alaskan and Canadian coastlines caused enough concern that J-Bear sent F-22s to intercept them. Lieutenant General Handy says the Russian flights did not cross into the 12-mile international boundary zone and were not considered hostile.
A hostile aircraft has to demonstrate some sort of clear intent to do harm. And so there's a, as I say, without going into specifics, there's a very disciplined set of rules that we go by before we would declare someone hostile. You mentioned penetrating an international boundary 12 miles. You know, that in and of itself perhaps may not indicate a hostile aircraft, but it may be one ingredient in that calculus. To date, these aircraft have been in international airspace, in our identification zone, certainly, but in international airspace, and frankly, have behaved very professionally.
Last year at this time when you came in, we talked about Secretary Hagel's Arctic strategy plan. There were 8 main points, and the highest priority was protecting U.S. sovereignty in the Arctic. Last year, you said the Arctic was not seen as an area of high threat, but things have changed considerably with the nation's relationship with Russia. Is there a greater concern or emphasis on U.S. Arctic security now? Is that being looked at anew?
I will say that since we talked last, the attention is greater. And I don't think it's because of a change in the evolution of the Arctic, but it's because of a lot of great dialogue and a lot of leaders understanding the importance of the Arctic. I think what we are seeing is fairly universal agreement that climate change is having an impact on the Arctic. It is. We're seeing fairly clear agreement that there will be a greater freedom of navigation in the Arctic. And with that comes a greater ability to harness riches in the Arctic, for example, oil and gas, a great degree of unexplored oil and gas in the Arctic. And whenever you get into that sort of a situation, nations and nation states are going to potentially want to have a part of that, and there's always potential for friction in that. It's the largest approach to our homeland. If you look at the border of Alaska, and if you combine that with Canada, it's a huge challenge to be able to have situational awareness across all of that.
There's been a lot of talk about budget constraints and funding cuts. Are you being told that there may be more cuts coming for Alaska's military, and specifically the budget cuts that were mandated by the sequester in 2011?
It's a good time to ask the question. I think that we perhaps will see more realignments. I think we've heard from an Air Force perspective, we've heard the Secretary and the Chief say that they feel that we're about as low as we can go. However, through fiscal year 15, we have some stability. But I will tell you, unless we get new legislation and the Budget Control Act kicks in fiscal 16 again, we are sort of right back where we started from. And so I don't think you'd find anyone in a leadership position in the DOD that would disagree that we need to not have that happen again. It was destructive. The budget wasn't predictable. We lost faith with our civilian workforce by laying them off, if you will. We shut down our entire operation, and we canceled very, very important activities, very, very important training activities that had an impact for a number of years.
Will the Air Force and Alaska Command be assisting the Coast Guard and the Navy farther away at sea as things open in the Arctic?
That's certainly very possible. As you know, the Navy has no permanent basing in Alaska, so they're up here exercising and they have a lot of activities, but to date have not, you know, stood up any bases. The deepwater port study that you've heard some talk about on the West Coast, you know, where that port may be, is a very popular topic with the Navy as well as the Coast Guard. So I believe the answer to that is yes. We already partner very closely with the Coast Guard when we exercise and simulate large contingency operations, whether they be sort of a military threat-based or a disaster-based, natural disaster-based. The Navy plays robustly, and they are directly tied in to our headquarters here at Alaskan Command.
Lieutenant General Russell Handy is the commander of Alaska's military.